Welcome to the This Is Money podcast. I'm Simon Lambert, and you are listening to a special bonus episode where we get some expert reaction to today's budget. I'm joined by Charles Stanley Direct's chief investment commentator Gary White and financial plans director Lisa Kaplan for a quick reaction to what the budget means for you. Jeremy Hunt delivered what was dubbed his last chance saloon budget today and brought us a 2p national insurance cut, a shift in the child benefit removal threshold, and a new British ISA. Those three headline grabbers arrived alongside plenty more, though, in an hour-long speech. Gary, before we get into things, what were your thoughts overall?
It's unsurprising, as virtually every single measure had been trailed in the days up to it. There was very few rabbits out of a hat in this one. But I actually think it's broadly sensible when you're looking at the longer-term tax breaks. So industries such as the creative industry, you know, British film and television is a very successful industry, and particularly in the pharmaceutical sector, where they're going to encourage more manufacturing with this sort of partnership, this deal agreed with AstraZeneca. I think that's really sensible, and medical research tax breaks as well. We want to encourage investment into the UK because, you know, as the Chancellor said, you know, increased investment produces increased productivity. We need more jobs, and all of this will work towards that end goal.
And Lisa, something we've been talking about a lot on the podcast recently has been the squeeze on people's incomes and the squeeze on people from tax thresholds and various other measures that people have really started to feel and complain about. Obviously, the Chancellor was trying to do something about that today. What was your take on the budget in general?
I mean, I think, yes, it'd be good for families, particularly sort of medium lower income families. Clearly, the child benefit threshold moving from 50 to 60 is welcome and will get child benefit back for a lot of people. And that's important as well because national insurance contributions, you get a credit when you're getting child benefit. So that works in two ways. Also, of course, the much-trailed 2p in national insurance. It's been calculated that'll add £450 on average to people, which is good. But I think people don't relate to things like national insurance as they would to income tax, although the money is welcome, obviously. But child benefit, I think, will cut through much more. And also interesting things like the British ISA as well.
With the child benefit removal, Mr. Hunt said that he's going to shift towards taxing household incomes, but that's something that is going to come down the line. The immediate move is to raise that threshold from where it gets taken off from 50,000 to 60,000, and also raise the upper threshold as well to £80,000. Is that going to lower the marginal tax rates that people who are having the child benefit removed face?
I think it's very interesting to talk about this household idea. There's always been this idea that couples are taxed separately. Yes, there's some transferable allowances and things, but this idea now that you're going to be taxed as a household and child benefit will depend on a household, I don't know how that's going to be measured at all. A child benefit is just a payment that goes to one of the parents, usually the parent who's got the caring responsibility. So, I mean, that's physically how it arrives, and it comes with a credit for national insurance as well for working out how much state pension you're going to get when you get to state pension age.
So giving it back to people does directly put money in quite a number of people's pockets, which, as you say, the Chancellor is hoping that they're going to feel. You think they might feel that more than the national insurance cut?
I think that the financial difference is real for both. But when you see money physically coming into your bank account, you know, you think, wow, I've got more money to spend. And people need money to spend. And the other thing is sort of is related to families and children is trying to make the whole childcare provision to work on the childcare provision so that it works better for people. Because it's that also which will bring people back to work.
And Gary, we've got the British ISA. There seems to be some confusion as to whether it's called the UK ISA, which is what the budget documents refer to it as, or the British ISA, which Jeremy Hunt referred to it as, or the Great British ISA, which some people have been calling it. But The point of this is the same, isn't it? It's to try to boost the UK stock market. Talk us through what the Chancellor said.
Well, he's launching an additional allowance for investing in UK companies, an extra £5,000 on your ISA allowance for investing in the London Stock Exchange. Now, as investors know, you know particularly well, the FTSE 100, FTSE 250, British equities in general have underperformed other indices elsewhere. Now, in America, you know, 61% of the population owns stocks. In the UK, the last figures from the government said 10.8% of the British population owns stocks. So there needs to be more of an interest in the national stock market here, and this is one way of trying to introduce that. But there's also the lack of technology companies here. There's very, very complex reasons why people have lost interest. There's a lot of slow growth companies, a lot of very mature companies. And now we've seen in the last week, there's companies being taken out by bids, such as Wincanton. And we need to get the flow of IPOs here, which has been pretty weak, moving as well. So it's a good move in the right direction. Obviously, investors need a diversified global portfolio. That is a sensible way forward. But to encourage more British people to invest in the stock market, you know, maybe a campaign like when British Gas was nationalised, to getting people to tell Sid, something like that. It's not this alone is not going to do anything, but it's an important stepping stone in garnering more interest in British equities from British people.
So I think what you're saying there is this alone probably isn't enough to move the dial to get us back where we need to be, and that actually there's only a relatively small number of people who could invest the full 20,000 every year. So giving them an extra £5,000, and then once you take that there, but it sort of points to the big institutional investors, the people that we need to be getting behind UK stocks, that, hey, look, we're trying to do something here. Would you have liked to have seen a cut to the removal, in fact, of the stamp duty on shares as well?
Of course, that would make them much more attractive. And there was talk that it would possibly be included in this budget. It hasn't. I do think that will be that will be more revolutionary for the UK stock market than this particular measure. Although it is broadly positive about it, but there is more to be done.
And it appears that there's already a bit of a minefield appearing as to exactly what counts as a UK stock. There's been some debate. Is it just a company listed in the UK? Can we have investment trusts, for example? Does Fidelity China Special Situations count as a UK-listed company or a UK
Precisely.
Stock? This is going to be interesting to see the details.
We'll have to wait and see the details. And I'm not really going to banging this drum about how positive it is until I see those. But it's an incremental step, and more needs to be done. The UK stock market needs to become more attractive. There's so much private capital out there that you don't have to have all the spotlight of being a listed company with all the rules and regulations and disclosures that come with that. And we need to make that easier so that entrepreneurs will want to list their businesses here instead of going to America, which, you know, they do now. Just because of the momentum in stocks over there will help, you know, will help with their valuations. If we can get momentum back into the stock market here, I think that will change everything. But at the moment, I don't see how we're going to get that.
And Lisa, we've seen an interesting element occur with people who invest in property, where on one hand, we've had a capital gains tax cut from the Chancellor for people selling up buy-to-let properties, second homes, where capital gains is higher for those people than ordinary, you know, stock market investors, for example. Yet at the same time, we've also, on the opposite side, had a little bit of a tax raid on those who own second homes and then let them out. It's been dubbed an Airbnb tax. What's going on there?
I thought this was very interesting because we heard rumours of an equalisation of capital gains tax and income tax. And we all thought, OK, capital gains tax will go up. But what actually happened is a fairly small part of capital gains is coming down and coming closer to the level of income tax. So instead of being 28% on second properties, it's now 24% on second properties, which compared to sort of the normal rate of 20%. So it's come down quite a lot. My hope is that this, along with the changes to furnished property lets, will actually release more property into the market so that younger people will find it easier to buy a home. Furnished property lets are kind of a bit of an arcane personal finance tax thing, and I'm not really sure why they should be treated differently.
From the Chancellor, we saw a degree of confidence. He was laying out his stall pre-election. It's been presumed that this is the final budget before the election. Do you think, Lisa, that people reading the stories about this, listening to the budget, watching the budget, and then seeing the measures come through, are going to feel that the Chancellor's really done something for them? Or did he need another rabbit out of the hat or something?
What struck me watching the budget was how rowdy it was, how argumentative it was in the House, more so than previous years, and it's been rowdy before, and also how electioneering it was in nature, how it was really a lot about the election in the words. In terms of the measures referred to, it's broadly good for people, I think, for middle-income people, and it's going to change a lot. There are a couple of sort of more headlighty things in terms of non-DOMs, and the Chancellor was very much reclaiming getting rid of non-DOM status as a Tory policy, having been first put forward by Nigel Lawson, which I thought was interesting. That non-DOM thing is very symbolic. It doesn't affect that many people. And I think what is suggested there about 4 years pass on foreign income makes a lot of sense as well. I think the measures are good for people. I don't know if they're going to feel that much difference before the next election, depending on when it is. I don't know, but possibly a lot of people would be put off by the aggression and the argumentative nature on both sides. And I'm not sure how many people watch it with the same interest that Gary and I do, and probably you do as well.
I mean, no, it's absolutely a point of view watching. The entire country takes a day off work to watch it. It's like transfer deadline day in the in the finals of a reality TV show rolled into one. That's what I thought anyway. Gary, the thing the Chancellor was very keen to try to point out was that Britain's economy is doing okay. He was banging the drum for growth. That's not necessarily the way that markets and investors around the world see the UK, is it? So no. With a more dispassionate view, how are we doing in terms of the economy? And is there the catalyst that we need to get that sort of escape velocity for
Britain? Well, we entered a technical recession at the end of last year. We had two consecutive quarters of negative growth. Probably we're looking like the first quarter of this year will bounce back and we won't be in negative growth. There's some positive signs there. But we are bouncing along the bottom, and we need something to start turbocharging our economy. I some of the measures introduced I really, really like, particularly the R&D benefits. It's $1 billion in new tax relief for the creative industries. It's encouraging investment in the country and getting people to start manufacturing in the pharmaceutical sector as well. That should, that provide jobs. Look at the success of Ireland when virtually all the Botox in the world is manufactured in Southern Ireland. And that's been a great success story for that region. We do need to attract these industries to invest. We need the car. We've had Toyota is investing into electric car plants. We need more of this. So behind the scenes, we need investment in the UK. This is a small step in the right direction, but we need more.
Lisa, one final question before we wrap up. Looking at the measures in the budget, but also at the general picture for our personal finances and saving, investment and pensions, what would you say to people in terms of what they need to do to sort their own finances out off the back of this, but also just off the back of where we're at right now?
So there's the very general big picture stuff about engage with your finances, look at your finances, plan ahead. But there's also the very nuts and bolty stuff, which is very important at this stage of the year, is using your allowances before the end of the tax year. By and large, allowances have either been frozen or are shrinking. So, for instance, the personal allowances hasn't moved for a while. Dividend allowances come down. Capital gains tax allowances halving. So use your allowances now. Don't let them go to waste. I mean, although the bringing this back to the budget slightly here, the British ISA, which is what I hope it'll be called because it's easy to say BRISA rather than ACISA. An extra £5,000 gives you so much more flexibility where you don't have to worry about capital gains thresholds and makes your life so much simpler in terms of declaring income. It's not huge, but it's welcome as well.
Okay. Lisa, Gary, that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Charles Stanley Direct. Investing made easy. Cost effective and flexible. Using our website or app. With our comprehensive range of investments, trade in shares, funds, investment trusts, and ETFs, there's a range to suit all levels of investor. Choose your own or consider our ready-made solutions. Charles Stanley Direct. Sign up now.
Investment involves risk.